that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And I'm Tony Marinucci, a.k.a. Tips with Tony.
And we are the Chimwits.
So today was not quite a wonderful day, as it took me over four hours to drive back from Atlantic City. So I want to thank Ryan and Tony for being so patient and waiting. I know that they're both quite busy people, and they waited for me to get back as I struggled through mucho traffic. And so now we're here. But I did bring Ryan a sandwich from White House, which is one of the best. How was the sandwich?
It was good. Yeah, no, what was it? Salami and...
It was an Italian.
You know, it was an excellent sandwich. I'm full, and I had like a quarter of it, so...
I think there was a lot of protein in the sandwich, yeah. Which is probably why...
Good transition.
Which is probably why Ryan is full, and that's because of the protein. And, of course, there's a good amount of fat in there, and there's a big, hefty amount of bread as well. So you have all your basic food groups for reasons to be full. But if you guys couldn't guess, the episode is about protein, which I know is sort of very buzzy right now. Everyone's talking about protein because... the effects that it has. So, Tony, you want to just give us sort of like the brief intro to protein before we jump into these cool questions that we have?
Yeah, I think that exactly what you just said. It tends to be top of mind for people. They think protein is the most important macronutrient, where they're all important. So never forget about that. Protein seems to be like the solution for almost anything. So I wanted to talk about a little bit more what you need to know about it, how to incorporate it, what types of protein to incorporate, et cetera.
So what are the benefits what makes protein such an important staple and something that one would want to kind of account for?
Like, why is it a macronutrient?
Yeah. Why is it a macronutrient? And also just, you know, why should people be aware of how much protein they're getting or not getting in their diet?
Okay, good question. So the basic functions of protein basically help on a cellular level. So we need it to function, you know, just to do our day-to-day things. It helps with immunity. They carry usually antibodies to help with support an immune system. They help with the basic structure of your bones. There's just a lot of roles that protein can play. So there are benefits to it, and Justin, you said like it helps people feel full. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later. So those are pretty much like the basic benefits of protein or what it is used for.
All right. So I guess sort of the big question that we're all wondering is really how much protein do we need, I guess, per day for the average person? And maybe how much do we need if we are working out a lot?
Yeah. So... there used to be the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, basically would recommend anywhere from about like 10 to 35% of your total calorie needs needed to be coming from protein. But we're starting to find that that's so vague, and everyone's calorie needs are different. Everyone's body types are different. So dietitians tend to take into consideration the person's health. If this is about like a healthy individual, like you said, we usually recommend it could be anywhere, depending on their goals, anywhere from like 1 gram per kilogram of body weight to like 1.2 grams per kilogram body weight to know how much protein they need daily. But something like an athlete, especially like a bodybuilder, they'll need closer to like 2 grams per kilogram per body weight. So it's going to vary depending on the size of the person, for sure. And then obviously what their goals are. That's pretty much a typical way to go about it.
So we've always, especially growing up with weightlifting, you kind of sold this thing has 40 grams of protein or 50 grams of protein. But then I've also heard that at some level, your body can't process that much protein. So there's a certain amount in one sitting where you're kind of at your max. Is that true? And like, what would that max be?
Yeah. It's a general, once again, every body, physical body is different, but the general rule of thumb is that your body will utilize anywhere from like 30 to 50 grams of protein at one time. And then when exceeded of that within a 3 hour time period, it's not going to be utilized. It'll probably get processed for something else in the body, depending on if you're in calorie deficit or in excess or whatever, or in stress. So it's depending on your body's state. But yes, that is true. Like, and I think the problem becomes when people think like protein's so important, so they have a lot at one meal, but they'd be so much better off spreading throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. So now with, it's important for people lifting weights. So yes. The you know, really important thing for them is having protein. Now, if somebody's looking to lose weight, so they're at a caloric deficit, but they want to maintain muscle, is there any kind of protein supplementation that person would want to do? Or is it, like, does it matter how much protein they're getting if they're trying to lose weight but still mm-hmm. maintain their muscle?
Yeah, definitely. When you're losing weight, your body's put in stress, and stress can cause catabolism of the muscle, meaning a breakdown of the muscle. So your protein needs are usually needed are higher if you're trying to achieve weight loss. Mm-hmm. Your other question to that was,
yeah. So that was basically it. So like, if you're trying to achieve weight loss while maintaining muscle, so you know, somebody who wants to lose, you know, depending on the amount of weight loss, you're going to lose a certain percentage of yeah. fat and lean weight. But if they want to maximize, let's say the fat loss.
So you asked about a supplement. That's what you asked. If you they need to supplement with protein.
So and I just meant like, as in should they keep their protein intake at a certain level?
So it's usually elevated if they're trying to lose weight. But just like, we might as well talk about supplements, because I think people all the time they'll grab, you know, they'll put like protein powder in their smoothies, or they might grab like a already made like protein shake. And those are great because they're quick and convenient, and they usually do have that like 30 to 50 gram of protein ratio, right, that you need. The thing is that you usually can get that through food, which most people do, depending on when. It really does vary on the person and when they're exercising, when they're having their meal. So the shake just might be a convenient component to add. But once again, you don't need, and if you're trying to lose weight, if you double, say, the scoops of protein, you're going to go from maybe one scoop has 20 grams, then to two scoops has 40 grams, and then you make it with like two cups of milk. So now you have more of the protein than your body actually can utilize, and more calories. You're trying to lose weight. So like, therefore you have to, it's once again, it's all a balancing act, and you really have to think of it, everything as a whole.
So I'm wondering something, and I've sort of seen it advertised. I was wondering if it's just a way to sell a product. And you mentioned, oh, you put in your scoops of protein, maybe it's whey or soy or whatever, then your milk, your dairy. Is there actually different types of protein? Is there quality of protein? I've sort of heard that advertised. Oh, very high quality protein. Does that really even matter?
There are proteins that are higher quality, meaning that they have all the amino acids. They're complete. So those are things that come from an animal. And then unique soy protein actually is a complete protein as well. Now, they used to think that you had, like, vegetarian and vegans had to have a variety in the diet or at the same exact time in order to create that complete protein. But as long as they're having it throughout the day, that variety of, like, carbs and protein, it can, the amino acids will come together and therefore becomes complete. Now, with exercise, though, there are a lot of studies that do support something like whey protein after a workout to be a more higher quality or more absorbable for the body. But if you're someone who is vegan or vegetarian and you exercise, I mean, soy protein would be fine. They have, even like now, they have pea protein and all that stuff. Now, there's not necessarily going to be complete at that time, but if you're having variety in your diet, then it's really not something you need to be concerned about.
So we've talked about this before when we talked about the fuel for your workouts, but when should someone be thinking about their protein in their diet? Should be after the workout, before the workout, just mm-hmm. every single meal? Like, when are there ideal times to have your protein intake or have the majority of your protein intake?
I think the best thing, if you think about how it only gets utilized after like 50 grams in a meal, it doesn't get utilized, then the best method to reach your protein needs, especially if you're on a higher protein diet, it's going to be really hard to do in one meal. And even if you do, once again, you're not going to utilize all of it as you would as effectively from spreading it throughout the day. A lot of people do a really good job having protein at dinner time, but they lack usually most Americans, their breakfast barely has any protein in it, or even a good source of protein, which is actually critical in the morning to have protein, because your body, when you're resting and you're sleeping, it goes into a catabolic state. And in order to get it out of that state, you need to, one, have something to eat because it'll start up the metabolism, but two, make sure that whatever it is has more protein in it to get it out of going into your muscle stores. And then, you know, getting it throughout the day is going to be much more kind of like the strategy where we say, you know, if your body needs 1500 calories to lose weight, can you have it all in one meal and still lose the weight or spread it throughout the day? You could probably have it all in one meal, still lose the weight, but realistically, are you going to be able to sustain that? And probably the answer is probably not. And after exercise, yes, of course, protein is important.
So I'm sure people are wondering this as well. Can protein replace fat and carbs?
No. Because all...
people want to stack up on protein and have no fat or no carbs.
No.
That's just not a healthy way to exist, correct?
No. It'll be temporary, right? Like we spoke about in the past. Like you might get your weight loss goals probably just because you're eating less, because protein is super filling. You know, or you're just probably having just less you're having less calories, you're therefore going to lose the weight. But by only having one macronutrient, you're avoiding the others, which means you're avoiding a lot of other vitamins and minerals that proteins don't have all those vitamins and minerals. So you want to make sure, once again, you're getting that variety.
Oh, help me resolve an argument between my stepson and I. He was arguing for a vegan or vegetarian diet. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we've been meat eaters since humans have always been meat eaters or omnivores, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just wanted to have that so that I can have him listen to that, because he refused to believe that for some ridiculous reason.
Well, it's you know, back in the day, it was about survival.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry about that little aside.
So he thought that at some point humans never ate meat?
He thought we didn't eat meat. He thinks ridiculous things. He's funny, but
how old is sometimes he?
He's too old to be thinking that. He's 21.
Oh wow!
So, but for some reason he was trying to argue. Like the argument really came down to whether now that we can theoretically we can eat a vegan diet and supplement, you know, with supplement in order to meet our protein needs, that it's immoral to. You know, keep and kill animals. So he kind of was coming from that as an argument initially, but he started to argue, you know, and then gets into, well, we used to, you know, what's wrong, you know, if a starving family, wherever, you know, somehow it came down to, he was like, well, humans before didn't have to eat meat, so why now? And it's like, well, no, we've always been meat. We eat meat. Like, if you can argue the morality of it now that we theoretically could supplement, but we eat meat.
Yeah, he could argue that we used to not keep animals, although we've been doing that now for millennia as well, that before we were organized enough to raise, you know, farms and farm animals, then we could, you know, we used to have to hunt for everything. So, no, but we were definitely always omnivores, you know, survival, you eat anything you can get your hands on.
So sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Actually, for a future, like, Tips with Tony episode, a little separate one, I do want to do something about vegan vegetarian diets, just because it's so different. First of all, there's so many different types.
Yeah.
And then secondly, why you're doing it. If it's moral reasons, then my answers to you are going to be completely different than for nutrition reasons of like what you're looking to supplement your proteins for. And
stuff
like
interesting.
That.
Yeah. Because I ruined someone's life by telling them that gummy bears was technically not vegetarian because it's made from
gelatin.
Gelatin. So they were really upset to hear that.
Although I'm sure they have vegan gummy bears now.
Yeah,
they're probably not very good, but I'm sure they have them.
I don't think gummy bears are very good.
Gummy bears are amazing. I don't know how you don't like gummy bears. All right. Well, anyway, so I guess my question is, so we live in a world where...
What about the protein gummy bears?
Oh God! They put protein in everything.
Yeah,
now.
Those are disgusting. Those are not good because they taste like chalk, basically.
Yeah.
Like gummy
chalk. So can we just segue then into the fact that they put protein in everything now? And as much as yes, a high protein diet can be effective, chances are, if you know what, a 4 ounce piece of sirloin steak has about 30 grams of protein, typically around that much. A 6 ounce sirloin steak has about 50 something grams of protein. So you quickly went from getting your protein needs to getting too much at one time. And if I told you, if you visually, you could fit 6 ounces of sirloin in the palm of your hand in about a deck of cards thick, we are getting plenty of protein.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's going to vary based off of the person. I can't generalize, but most of the time, you don't have to worry that you're not reaching your protein needs. Like, it's in everything.
Well, it's kind of like the only macronutrient that's not been stigmatized. Like, you know, carbohydrates have
that's
been completely stigmatized in society. Yeah. Fats have been completely stigmatized. So it's the one clean kind of macro. So it's easy to say, oh, this has extra protein, and then it doesn't have as much fat or carbs.
I've heard, and I don't know if there are really any proper studies that suggest this, but too much protein can lead to cancer or to, I've heard, issues with prostate health and maybe bladder health. Is there any substantiated evidence that may prove that at all?
So there are studies that show excess, it's not necessarily the protein. I think dietitians have finally like kind of navigated through and found that it's mostly the that proteins tend to be, there's a lot of processed meats that have the protein. So when choosing protein, you want to choose lean whole sources. So people are probably surprised that I just explained a sirloin steak. Believe it or not, that's a better choice than like bacon or sausage, or, you know, even if like calorie wise, it's processed meats tend to in excess cause inflammation in the body, which then leads to disease and a bunch of other different things. And
how do you feel about eating that Italian sub round?
Yes.
Yeah, I was reading actually just today.
But also they carry more fat then. You know, the processed meats carry more fat. They actually have less protein. You know, bacon is like 2 grams, I think. That's it's like an adequate source of protein. It's more like a fat.
Yeah. And I was reading something today that it's like the processed and the carcinogens that may be the reason for the problems and not necessarily the protein.
And then not having your fruits and vegetables and your whole grains to kind of supplement that. So it's never, and I think that's why I stress this again and again and again, it's not one food that causes an illness.
Yeah.
It's not one thing that leads to a disease. It's the lifestyle factor. It's that lack of balance. And that's what I think is the problem with protein, is because people do believe that it is, and it's wonderful, but if people kind of think it's the answer.
Yeah.
And like you said, they'll probably restrict carbs or restrict the fat, or, you know, maybe not. They think, you know, protein's good, so they have a whole plate of sirloin steak and they don't get their vegetables. So they're not getting the protection that they need from the foods, and that's the problem, I think, that we fall into.
So at the opposite end of the spectrum, let's say there are some people who are vegetarian or don't eat a lot of meat. What happens if you're not getting enough protein in your diet?
Yeah, so you could, without enough protein in the diet, number one, you might feel hungry all the time. You might always have kind of an increase in appetite. In severe cases, you would lose your hair, like your hair would fall out. I mean, that's a little bit more severe. In the short interim, once again, if you're not having that balance, you might have elevated blood sugars. You could just not be getting, you know, it's not, like we said, protein supports the immune system. You might get sick very often. I mean, it really does depend. But yeah, it's dependent on the person.
So how does somebody who's a vegan or vegetarian, how do they get an adequate amount or supply of protein into their diet?
They have to supplement with, for example, the obvious things to supplement with if they're vegetarian would be like eggs or low fat dairy. And then for vegans, it's like beans, nuts, and seeds have a higher protein content. They usually, if they're doing it for health reasons, then they're probably incorporating also more whole grains. And whole grains naturally have more protein than your refined grains. So by having more whole grains, by supplementing their protein with beans and having like nuts and seeds as a snack, or doing like an unsweetened soy milk, or if they're vegetarian, like a low-fat milk or something like that, then it is possible. There's some really fun things that like vegans can add, that like nutritional yeast. Like, I know so many like fun little things that you probably wouldn't think of adding, but like you can sprinkle that in on their popcorn. They can put it in eggs, and it's like a cheesy consistency, and it tastes actually really good. And it has vitamin B12, which most vegans are lacking, because it's only vitamin B12 is usually only in animal sources. So like, there's little things that you can do to kind of get that protein that you need.
I actually like to talk about B12. I know it's one of these really important vitamins that is that's sort of buzzy as well. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of clinics give shots for them, and a lot of physicians actually suggest people getting B12, and I know that it affects many processes in the body, so maybe we should talk about that. Just one last thing about the sort of vegan protein thing. A lot of people, even if they're meat eaters and they're trying to avoid meat, might go crazy with the tofu or seitan and stuff like that. And I'm sure those are very good sources, but can you go overboard with that sort of stuff? I've heard that eating too much soy is not actually good for the body.
Yeah, so actually soy in its whole form, like from the edamame bean or like tofu or the seitan, that's actually really, really good for your heart. There's what's called isoflavins, and it actually supports the heart. Obviously too much of anything is never good, but there, you know, when it comes to soy, I think there's that belief that soy products can cause cancer, especially breast cancer, because it has estrogen and it could feed the hormones or the cells. There's really no studies to support that. But I have to be sensitive to people's concerns, and you know, if there's breast cancer in your family and you don't want to have soy products, then that's, you know, I have to support that. But once again, it's like any diet, it's the variety. So you don't want to just be only supplementing with soy protein. You want to get the beans and the nuts and the seeds and, you know, the nutritional yeast, and just try new things, like try quinoa for a grain. It has more protein than the other grains, you know, stuff like that.
So there are a lot of people, I've heard this often, even though I've never thought or read about using protein for energy. There are people that kind of think that protein will be a source of energy, and that's just not correct, right? Like it would be the last, if any, source of energy for energy, right?
Yeah, it's not used for energy. I mean, there's 4 calories per gram, so like there is technically calories, which is energy, but your body doesn't function to use it that way.
Yeah,
a lot of people that are on high protein, low carb diets have very little energy. It's a hard diet. Yeah. That's why it's so hard to stay on, because their energy is just drained, because they have nothing fueling their brain. They're just their exercise, their routines. It's hard. It's hard to stick to.
Yeah, and then I think I've read like that the process to using protein for energy. I forget exactly how it works, but it's way more labor intensive than it should be, and then you end up it's inefficient. But I hear that all the time. Like people will say, "Oh, yeah, I should get protein for energy," and I don't know. It's like protein's become like the magic macro, I guess.
Yeah.
So now you mentioned amino acids. How important is amino acid supplementation? Is it something that's necessary, or with a regular diet, will we get enough amino acids?
Great, great question. It might be necessary in an elite athlete. I actually would like for you guys to, in another time, maybe we can have my friend Melanie. She is certified in sports nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I ask her this question all the time. I ask her questions about protein too, because dietitians used to think, or we were taught, that excess protein could cause kidney damage. But really we're learning now, it's if you have, you know, if your kidney's not functioning, you don't want excess, you know, if it's not working properly. But for a healthy individual, it's not really going to cause damage. But anyway, so I go to her a lot when it comes to that sort of stuff. And so we should probably have her on for that, for like branched chain amino acids, because I do know she does recommend it to, you know, those elite athletes, or just like those people who maybe do CrossFit like 4 to 6 times a week. You know what I mean? Like those are high intensity workouts, and they can get it through food, but they might be dieting. So then therefore you need to replace in another way, because once again, your food's going to have it, but if you're on a low calorie diet in order to achieve weight loss, then you might need to supplement in that situation.
So yeah, speaking of weight loss, obviously we talked about it before, with weight loss, people tend to go into either low carb or low fat to induce the weight loss, which then means that they have to increase something, protein, usually protein, in order to make up for the decrease in the other macros. And I know the ketogenic diet's become very popular, which is kind of follows along those lines. It sounds like it's just an offshoot of Atkins. Is it the same? And I guess just talking about that, and then also just how protein works with weight loss. I know we talked about it a little bit, but maybe forget a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so the ketogenic diet is similar to an Atkins diet. The whole concept is to consume less than, when you consistently consume less than 50 grams of carbohydrate per day, your body will build up ketones. Basically, with that, it's like a fancy way of saying it goes into the muscle to get the energy. And that's why people will use it, because they're basically having less carbohydrates and there your body is using your energy instead of you having to take in the energy.
I'm just going to mention something about that. There's someone very close to me who got extremely sick from doing the Atkins diet, went into ketosis, and yeah, just got very, very sick, nauseous, fainting, stuff like that.
Wow.
So I guess, you know, from that, and I've heard that other people have had similar reactions. I'm sure if you looked it up, there would be people that have mentioned that they've had fainting spells or felt dizzy, those types of things. So I guess it's a buyer beware with a ketosis type deal.
But also we just talked about this a couple weeks ago, that when you're like, when you limit the like your brain requires the glycogen mm-hmm. for energy, it doesn't use fat, but body can use fat, and you can use the fat and glycogen. So if you completely deplete that, then you're losing what the brain needs to function.
So in prolonged times, that's what happens. And usually that's why it's not effective for so many other reasons. There are studies to support it for people who have epilepsy or, you know, something that is a trigger to the brain. So therefore they need to have less carbohydrates. Did your friend have diabetes by any chance? Because that's pretty common.
No.
Okay. So basically what you're explaining sounds like metabolic, like ketoacidosis, which is usually what does happen in extreme cases. The fainting spells, the dizziness could just be, like I said, it could be so many other things. It could be that you're just not getting enough nutrition. You know, if you think about the term osis in Latin, it means like when things are not right. It means like to kind of create a balance because things are imbalanced. Like that's pretty much what it stands for. So if you're purposely putting your body in imbalance where it has to kind of go, it's like basically just putting yourself in a dangerous situation to have to like save yourself and get out of it. It's just, it's not long-term as we know this. So
didn't Dr. Atkins die from like a heart attack or something like that?
Yeah. That's ironic. Yeah.
That is ironic. Yeah. Sad, but ironic.
Yeah. Sorry.
So, that came out of nowhere. Okay.
Sorry, a little dark humor.
No.
It
just kind of, you know, it just falls into another diet, not a lifestyle change, you know, and the last episode you were talking about, you know, if you were saying how like being an amateur fighter to risk your life, you know, to be an amateur fighter versus like getting paid a lot of money to like work really hard. And then maybe the diet would be worth it in that point. Right. Yeah. But to your point from your previous show, like this is, people really are doing this just to like look good in a bikini or to like look good, you know, to get a date or something like that. It's not. And then therefore it's not short term. It's prolonged. And then therefore you are at risk for developing the things that we think are rare, but they're actually not rare because more people are doing it.
What would you consider an acceptable, let's say there's somebody who's, you know, they're willing to take like an acceptable risk.
Mm-hmm.
So what's an amount of time for somebody to go on some kind of an extreme diet that you'd say, okay, that's acceptable, an acceptable enough time? Or is there really any?
I don't know about that. Yeah. I guess, I haven't read anything. I don't know.
It's totally a weird question. And I guess you also have to kind of know that, you kind of know the risk reward of
yeah,
doing
it's
like
very,
that.
it's different. And you know, once again, like we have to assume that everyone's healthy, but that's the problem. They're not. And there are plenty of people that have diabetes or have high blood pressure and think that this is going to cure whatever it is that they have. And they have to remember that when you're taking medication and when your body is not at its healthy state, you're more at risk for developing like complications when trying something new or extreme. So it's always important to seek out a health professional before starting any sort of diet regimen.
So what's the takeaway? What would you like to leave our listeners with regards to their own protein intake?
Well, Ryan, you should listen to the episode.
All right.
Okay. So the takeaway is, number one, choose healthy sources of protein. right? Just because it has protein doesn't mean that it, you know, it could still be, you can, they put protein in cookies. It's still a cookie.
Yeah, that's the best.
It's still a cookie. So no, so just make sure, you know, you're choosing healthy sources of protein. So if you are choosing meat, you do healthy cooking methods like baking, grilling, broiling, that sort of thing. Think about when you're having your protein and try not to have too much at one time. Really try to spread it throughout the day, particularly for breakfast and after a workout. Those tend to be the most, the key times to include your protein. And then lastly, as important as protein is, so are carbohydrates and so are fat and water. Those are their four macronutrients. They're all important. So when you increase one, don't forget about the other. It's all about balance.
Yeah, we should do another, we should definitely do kind of like we do with the protein, do the same thing for fat and for carbohydrates and
yeah,
remove that stigma.
Definitely.
All right, cool. Well, as usual, all of our stuff.
Very easy coming from someone who's got no fat on his body.
Anyway, as usual, our stuff is at thegymwits.com. Where can people find you, Tony?
My Facebook page, my Instagram page, my Twitter page, my YouTube page, and my website, all Tips with Tony, with an I.
Cool. All right, I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And I'm Tony Marinucci, a.k.a. Tips with Tony.
And we are the Gymwits.